Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Lord our God, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm very pleased to be here with you today on this, my first official visit to Deep Creek as your regional bishop. It's great as I go round to, as I mentioned before, one of the 66 different parishes in this region. They're all very different. And it's great to see how God is at work in various ways in different areas and churches. I was here with many of you and with many, many others on the 23rd of May as we celebrated Cheryl's life and gave thanks to God for her life and ministry. And it's good to know that Rod and family have such a supportive parish family at this time. So thank you for your care for him. When I was talking to Rod about today's service, he was not sure at first if anyone was going to be confirmed because of everything else that had been happening. Since then, two people came forward, and then a third, and a baptism, and a reception. So it's great to see how God works in people's lives and prompts them to respond to God's call. The Bible readings that we've just heard this morning are the passages that are read in many churches across the world this day from a set lectionary or list of readings. They're used in the Catholic and the Uniting churches as well as in many Anglican churches. Over the last few weeks, the Old Testament readings have come from the book of Genesis. They've been tracing the story of Abraham and Sarah and how God worked in their lives and led and guided them, even when things looked hopeless. Last week, when I was preaching at South Blackburn, we had the incredibly difficult story about God asking Abraham to take his precious son Isaac away for a three-day journey to the foot of a mountain, and then to go up the mountain and to be prepared for Abraham to offer Isaac up as a sacrifice to God. Just as he was about to do this, God spoke to Abraham and said these words, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." God could see how Abraham loved God so much that he was willing to offer up even his precious son. God then enabled him to see a ram caught in the bushes nearby and to offer that instead as a sacrifice. This was a kind of preparation for many years later when God himself was offering up his son, Jesus the Christ, to be a sacrifice on behalf of all others who wanted to be in relationship with God. So Genesis then moves on with the Abraham story, so well known by all the people of Israel. Isaac returns with his father Abraham from the mountain and keeps growing up and moves to the Negev, caring for the animals and the fields there. Abraham had already received several times a promise from the Lord God that he will be the father of a great nation of many multitudes. To do that, Isaac needed to get married and to produce the first of these descendants. Abraham had travelled many years before from much further northeast and come to the land of the Canaanites, or Canaan. He does not want Isaac to marry one of the Canaanite women who worship other gods and who do not have the same culture. So he instructs his trusted servant to go back and search for a suitable wife for Isaac from his relatives. Abraham trusts his servant to know and to do what is right in his eyes and in God's eyes. Abraham promises him that the Lord will send his angel before him to enable this to happen. So we see here how Abraham seeks to know the Lord's will and to put this into practice by being obedient. Our passage for today that we heard read out actually leaves out some parts of the story, and it's really helpful if you can go home and read the parts that are left out and see how they fit in. A lot of the Old Testament comes from oral tradition, from people passing down a story from one to another, just as we do in families. Remember when Uncle so-and-so did this? Remember when Grandma said that? And these stories get passed down. To help people remember the story, they often repeated parts of the narrative to help people realise what was the really important parts. And so the part about Isaac being offered up was repeated. The part about heading over and what happened when the servant got to his destination is also repeated. And we can see there's some little insights that come out as those parts are repeated. The servant travels to the distant country and goes to a logical place, to the well, where the young women come to draw water in the evening when it's cooler. Abraham's unnamed servant prays to Abraham's God for guidance. When he sees her coming, he goes up to Rebekah and asks if he may have a drink of water. Not only does she willingly do this, but she then offers to give water for his 10 camels. If we have visitors today, we may offer to give some water for their dog if they've come for a walk to us. Or perhaps in the country, maybe you might offer to give water to a horse. But getting water for one thirsty camel, let alone 10 of them, was not an easy task. It would have taken quite some time for her to fill up the trough and to enable them to have sufficient water. Well, while this was happening, Abraham's servant watched in silence, and he liked what he saw, what she was doing it, and how she was doing it. He was hoping that the Lord had made his journey successful. He was looking for the guidance of God in what he did next. This was to give her a ring through her nose. I don't know if all people would like that. That was the fashion then. And also to put bracelets on her arms. And to ask if he and his helpers could come and stay at her parents' place. She extended a gracious welcome to him to come and stay, even though she probably had to then go and check up at home that this was okay. But hospitality for travelling strangers was something that was very important in the Middle Eastern culture in those days. What was the servant's reaction to her response? He gave thanks to God for leading him to this beautiful young lady who was indeed a relative of Abraham and would be a suitable person to be a wife for Isaac. Rebekah, we're told, hurried ahead to let her family know that guests were coming. When her brother Laban saw her new jewellery, her ring and her bracelets, he knew that someone special had come and went out quickly to meet him. He led him, the camels, and the other men who were with him back to his father's house. Again, we see evidence of great hospitality and a welcome to strangers. Abraham's spokesman then explained the reason for his visit and what had happened over the previous years to Abraham. Again, we hear the story here of Abraham's journeying, his now great wealth, and the birth of Isaac when Sarah was very old. Rebekah's parents and brother are happy for her to go to be with Isaac, but they ask Abraham's envoy to stay longer so that she could have some time to prepare and to say farewell. He explains that he wants to return immediately to share the good news. So after some discussion, they ask Rebekah what she wants to do, and she says that she's happy to leave immediately. She does have her older protector or nurse with her and some younger maids, but it must have been a great step of faith to set off with a strange man to an unknown husband. There were no photos or emails in those days to check out what he was like. We're then told how at the end of the long trek on their camels back to Abraham, Rebekah sees Isaac coming through the field towards them. Isaac's mother, Sarah, had died fairly recently, and we're told that he took Rebekah into his mother's tent and they were married, and he loved her. Isaac was comforted to have someone to love and care for him, especially after recently losing his mother. Rebecca, hopefully, although it doesn't say so, also loved him in return. They went on to be the parents of the twins, Esau and Jacob. And so the history of the people of Israel continued, and the Lord continued to guide and to lead them. As I was thinking about this story, I was thinking about arranged marriages and how they don't happen very much here in our Western culture in Australia. But then yesterday in The Age, there was an article that some of you might have seen about India and how they're not allowing young single women to have mobile phones in India because they can ring up and talk to young men on the phone and arrange meetings. And in that culture, for many of them, not all, it is very much the parents who arrange who the young ladies are going to meet and who they're going to marry. And they see arranged marriages as carefully done so that it's the right person from the right culture, the right socioeconomic background that the person will find. That's not quite the case for us in Australia, and many of you may not like the idea of that. It's worth thinking about and thinking whether there's any merits in it for us here. But what can we learn about Rebecca from this story? How can this encourage us today? We don't have the arranged marriages, but we do have other things in common with her. We can see many qualities in Rebecca. She was strong. She was able to care for the men and the camels with the provision of water. She was patient, doing this until all 10 camels had been watered. She felt free to be hospitable, even to a stranger. She was willing to leave family and country and travel into the unknown. Rebecca also saw the hand of God leading Abraham's servant. She knew the love of parents and close family, but was willing to leave them and to form relationships with new people under God. We then learn later that she was barren and had to wait many years before she was able to have her own children. So life was not always easy for her. We can learn from this whole story how God is there at all times of their lives, at the death and farewell of Sarah at an advanced age, with Abraham looking back at a life of trust in God, despite the seeming difficulties in having children and grandchildren, with Isaac in his youth when being offered up, then here in his midlife as he takes a wife, then later we read of an old blind man as Isaac gets older, when he blesses the wrong son. God is present with each of these people in different ways and at various times. God can be present with each of us at the various stages of our lives, when our parents bring us for baptism and make promises on our behalf, when we come forward to confirm our belief and faith in God, when we're influenced by conversations and Bible studies to grow in our faith and to be received into the Anglican Church, when we choose our subjects at school or university and then choose a career, when we seek for a life partner and we're married and have children, when we grow older and more frail, and then when we near the end of our lives and we're cared for by others, even as our faith and trust can, in the midst of that, make an incredible impact on others, as it did with Cheryl. And so the life, the faith, and the obedience of Abraham, his servant, and Isaac and Rebecca can all be an encouragement to us, and especially to those who are getting confirmed or received this morning. So too can the words of our Lord from Matthew that we heard at the very end of our Gospel reading, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we can share our burdens with the Lord, it can release a lot of pressure, a lot of difficulty from each of us, and help us to see God at work in our lives and the lives of those who are special to us. So today, little Jessica's parents will receive this promise for them and for her. And Sarah, Jessica, Chris, and Judy will be able to take these words as promises for them, as they ask God to continue to lead them in their walk with God and move on through life. We too, as part of this service, promise to support these people and to encourage them in their Christian walk, even as we continue our journeys. So may this be a joyous time for everyone gathered here today. Even though we do go through difficult times, we have this firm promise that God will lift our burdens from us and carry them for us. So this may this be a reality in each of our lives. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for Abraham and Sarah, for Isaac and Rebecca, for the faithfulness of Abraham's servant, as he listened to Abraham and listened to you and sought to know your guidance and direction. We thank you for the words of our Lord that he will share our burdens. Lord, help each of us now to come to you, to know your presence in our lives, to encourage those who are making a step forward today, to support them as we in turn know your love and your support in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.